Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about, and I'm going to start a series, becoming a vessel of honor. Now, to become a vessel of honor is not automatic. There's choices that we're going to have to make in this life to get to that point where we come, okay, this, well, let's just get into the message. It's kind of like, well, let's just read. Hallelujah. There's a lot. I have a lot on me, in me, and I got to gear it down here. Okay, 2 Timothy, let's just start with verse, chapter 2, verse 21. Did I tell you what chapter? Yeah. Chapter 2. Are you there? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. It says there, chapter, verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So just, it says, in a great house. So you could picture this in your house, right? You have vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. Some of your vessels of honor, let's just say, your china. I mean, Joanne is usually in charge of the china. She doesn't let me. When it comes to the china, she gets that out. That's above my pay grade. Now, I've got the paper plates, but the china is in a special place. And you have to be qualified to even touch the china. But anyway, so, but also we have in the same house, we have a vessel called the trash can. We call that dishonor. That's the place where we put the grandkids' diapers in. A sack within a sack, in a sack, in the trash can. You know what I mean? Least to smell. You know where I'm coming from. So, at home, it reminds me, when I was raised up, we had in the kitchen, well, we had a bucket called a slop bucket. That's the way we were raised. And we still have that from time to time, but not near as much as we used to. And the slop bucket, you know, all your scraps goes in that bucket. It's kind of nasty. Then we just feed the dogs with that. That's how we fed our dogs. They were healthy, fat dogs. And I know they say you're not allowed, you should not do that, but I'm just telling you, our dogs lived just as long as the rest of them. And they were happy. All right. So it says here, you notice, it says gold, silver, wood, clay, some for honor, some and for dishonor. So therefore, if... It's conditional. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter or from the dishonor, say he's given you four choices. There's a gold, silver, clay, and whatever. There's four of them. What was that? Wood. It kind of reminds me of the sower sows the word. There's four types of ground, right? And God doesn't decide what ground you are. God doesn't decide for you what vessel you are. You are the determining factor. The Bible says we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that's what we're going to get into. You're going to decide if you're going to get into the good works. a vessel of honor get into the good works. The vessel of honor is designed for that. You are made for that. Let's read on. It says, "He will, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified." Now that word sanctified, let me clear this up. When you talk about being sanctification, sanctified, it's not, being sanctified is not just a do not list, or I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't steal. It's more than that. That's part of it, but it's being separate. In other words, you don't do those things. You separate yourself from sin, but it's unto the Lord. You see that point? We don't do these things, but at the same time, I am consecrated to Him. I'm sanctified into Him. What is this going to do? It's when we sanctify ourselves unto Him, then it goes on to say, let's read this. He goes, "You is sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." See, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about those works that God has predestined us to do, right? We're predestined. He has prearranged for you good works. He has predestined you a pathway in life. We are the Hebrews chapter 12 talked about running your race, not getting entangled with things of life. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we all have a pathway. We all have a race in front of us, and each one of us it's marked off, and each one of us has a path marked off. We're not competing against each other. Your path isn't the same as my path, but we're in a race. And in this race, if we'll allow the good shepherd to shepherd us, he'll lead us on the right path. That's called hearing and obeying. In other words, a lot of times we want God to do the supernatural. And God is a supernatural God. And we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So the supernatural is on the inside of us. Just our inner man supernatural. So here's the point I'm trying to make is, a lot of times God would tell you to do something, but if it doesn't look supernatural, we'll say, well, I don't know, it could be just me. But hold it. Remember when God told Elijah, is it Elijah or Elijah? I think it's Elijah. The Lord told him to go to the brook. Remember? He's in a drought condition, 3.5 years, et cetera, et cetera. Go down to the brook. What's so supernatural about a brook? But the Lord told him to do that, right? That's his path. So he goes down to the brook. The water's flowing. But then there's also the supernatural gets involved because God commands the ravens to feed him. I call that supernatural. So that's his path. If he would have stayed where he was at, he would have missed the provision that God had for him over here. So what I'm saying is, as we live a sanctified life, hearing and obeying what He tells you to do, in other words, come out, be separate, come on, don't live like the heathen, come on, live a holy life, live a righteous life, follow my path, and the provision, as you follow the good shepherd, the provision is going to be there for you. Because why would God lead you on a path when there's no provision? He's a father. And He wants to take care of you. So in order for us to take advantage of that son-father relationship, We have to make sure we're hearing and obeying. That's part of the living a sanctified life. Because on this path is good works. On this path is natural, and on this path is supernatural. So don't get caught off guard. Say, well, I just want supernatural. Don't just flow with Him. It may not look like supernatural. A lot of times when you, listen, I guarantee it, when you put the Word in you, that seed in you, a lot of times you say, well, that don't feel supernatural. It doesn't, I mean, it's just comparing what I have to fight with in the natural, that Word doesn't look like it's going to be able to do the job, but it is designed. Because your path, God's already saw it. He knows exactly where you're going. He knows how to get you there. And on this path, He already knows your need. Hold it now. He prearranged it. It's already set out. He already seen it. So He's not like He's taking you into, well, I don't know where I'm taking him, but I just God's going. He knows exactly where you're going. Only thing we have to do is just follow the path and cross the finish line. But it says if. So it's conditional. It says, sanctified and useful for the master prepared or ready for every good work. In other words, when we live a sanctified life, a clean life, I said clean life, I said holy life, a righteous life, God's able to do more for you. Because it's a vessel of honor. Right? I'm touching base on this. There's a lot to talk about. So I'm just kind of, we're going to kind of skim over this, all right? So I'm not, this is not the all end all talk on sanctification, obviously. So we're going to touch lightly on this. In verse 22, we're still talking about making decisions, talking about being a vessel of honor. Verse 22, it says, flee youthful lust, not flirt. There comes a point in time. You remember Joseph? Potiphar's wife, that situation there. I mean, he's just minding his own business. And this lady decides to seduce him. Remember? Well, for Joseph, that is not the time to quote a scripture. Well, Pastor Chuck, I think she needs to be saved. I think if I just quote her some scriptures and talk to her, that I can win her over to Jesus. Bubba, you better run, because she's already got your cloak, and she don't care about the scripture. She don't care about Jesus. She's got evil on her mind. You better run. Like the saying, run, Forrest, run. That ain't the time to preach a sermon to her. There may be a time later on, but the Bible says to flee. That's being a doer of the word at that time. There's times the Bible talks about don't even entertain, don't even at the appearance of evil, stay away from it. Flee from it. Why would I do that? Because the word says so. You're being a doer of the word. You're keeping your vessel clean. Had he not done that, he would have been in trouble. He would have corrupted himself. He's a young guy. See, that's a good example. That's not the time to compromise. That's not the time, well, I wonder how close I can get to the edge of this. That's not the time to get to the edge. That's the time to flee from it. You don't think about it. You don't compromise with it, you're off to the races. You're going the other direction. And that's exactly what he's going to talk about. He goes, flee youthful lust, but at the same time, you're fleeing, but also now you're fleeing her or whatever evil that's come against you on that evil day. Now he's saying, pursue something else. He says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Pursue, oh, Pastor Chuck, now, Pastor Chuck, hold it now. Hold it. I'm not into works. You're telling me to do something. You know, hey, I believe in the finished works of Jesus. I am a big time. I love to talk about it, preach it, teach it. I believe in it. I believe those who believe enter into a rest. That rest is his finished works. I mean, it goes on. I love to talk about it because it's true. But he says, flee this and pursue this. Pursue righteous living. Listen, I know the finished works is done. But God is not done with you. He's not done working in you. It's like the song they just sung. He's working in me. When I'm sleeping, he's working in me. That's the power of the seed. Because he says, even though you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that righteous living will not just happen. You will have to pursue it. And that word pursue is not a lightly tippy-toe through the tulips. You will have to pursue it. Turn with me. Just look at this. And hold your place and turn with me the second Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Man, Pastor Chuck has a new Bible. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Yeah, some of those new Bibles you get to watch. Second Philippians chapter 2. It says here, and we all know it, but I want you to see this because we're talking about pursuing righteousness, pursuing it. And it says here in verse 13, we all know it. Are you there? For it is God who works. There's that word works. Pastor Chuck, you on this work kick? That's what the word says. Work. I thought God was finished. I thought God was sitting on his throne. God is on the throne. Jesus at his right-hand side. They're both in a seated position, resting, finished works, right? But the Holy Spirit is still working. Maybe it may be a little clearer to understand. It says God, but the Spirit of God. He's the one working. He's the one that brings about miracles. He's the one that takes when you, well, we'll get to this a little bit. Let's just go on with this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, doing all things without complaining. And let's see here. Am I right? Let's go up to 12. The B part, let's just go ahead and read verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how now much more in my absence. Here's what I want to get out first. Work out. Say work. Now who's supposed to work that out? Uh-huh. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, take it very seriously. Pursue it. Now we're ready for 13. I jumped the gun there. For it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, God works, He puts in you. Let's just put it this way. He puts in His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He puts His Word. You put in the Word. God doesn't put the Word in. You have to put the Word in, right? So there's God's part and we have a part. Our part is pursue righteousness. In order to pursue righteousness, you're going to have to put the Word in, right? So we're putting the Word in. God's doing a work in us. And the Bible says there, we are to work it out. Work what out? What's in us? The living Word of God. See, when it said pursue righteousness, let me put it this way. When it said pursue righteousness, it's like I said before, even though, let me say it this way, we are already been declared righteous by faith in Christ Jesus, right? But righteous living doesn't fall on you, like we said. So there is a pursuing or an acting out what God has said. Because the righteous living won't be automatic. So you're going to have to pursue it. In other words, do the Word. Implant the Word. Does that make sense? Because you just can't say, well, I'm going to leave it all up to God. And He'll make me a golden vessel. You can't, it's not, it don't work that way. Now, there is verses in the Bible that it says that God will sanctify you. And we'll get to that a little later. I don't know if I get to that today or not. But it says here, if you will cleanse yourself from the latter, if you will cleanse yourself from being a dishonor, cleanse yourself from that state, God can use you, come on, because you made yourself ready because you purged yourself from whatever. So listen, I'm not saying we're all there yet. We're all on the wheel. We're all on the potter's wheel. It's turning. We're not arrived yet. Oh, Pastor Chuck, I think I'm pretty well there. And the Lord said, oh, what's this? You know, the potter has his hands on the clay, right? What's the potter do? He's constantly pulling. Well, I'll just say my case. What's this? I feel something in there. And the potter would take the impurity, the rock or whatever it may be, and he'll just discard it. That's the potter. He's working on the clay. He's working on us, right? So we have not arrived yet. Look at this. Look at this. Look at, go over one chapter, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, He's begun a good work. Everybody say work. He's begun a good work in you. It's not done yet. And we have to realize that we're not the finished product yet. He's still working on me. So don't be discouraged because you have some, we're not arrived yet. We have habits. We got this going on. But if we'll just plant the seed, allow God to work on the inside of us. Turn with me to, I'm kind of jumping around here. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, because sanctification, the means of sanctification is by the Word. 2 Thessalonians Let me see here. I think I got this in the Amplified Bible.
I thought I did.
But you're going to see in 2 Thessalonians, it's not... It's... sanctification is by the Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "And we are bound to give thanks to you, to God, always for you, brethren, beloved by God, because by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So we see here the Spirit working with the truth, with the Word. So it's telling me the more Word you have in you, the more the Holy Spirit can work sanctification through you or salvation through you. In other words, they did a survey, and I got that written down. They did a survey, a poll, and I got it written down, parts of it. Let's see. They took, get this, they polled 40,000 people. And they asked this, and they tracked this on 40,000 people. People who read their Bible once a week. Now this is, I'm talking about you putting the Word in you and the effect it has on you. A lot of times I don't think we really realize the power of the Word, the effect it has on our lives. It said, those who prayed, those who read their Bible once a week had almost no effect on their lives. Now I'm thinking the time that they spent was around 30 minutes. Okay? So 40,000 people, those who read their Bible once a week had very little effect. Those who read their Bible twice a week had about the same, not much. Those who read their Bible three times a week had minor effects. There was some improvement. But then, I never would have believed this, but those who read their Bible four times a week, that's not much, is it? Maybe it is. I'm going to go here. Four times a week isn't all that much, is it? But look at the effects. People just reading their Bible four times a week. This is what happened. Feeling lonely dropped 30%. Just reading the Bible four times a week. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness, strife dropped 40%. See the effect it has? It's like the song they sung. The Word's working. If you get it in you, it'll work. Feeling spiritually stagnant. That's a big one. Dropped 60%. Just from reading the Word four times a week. Sharing your faith. This is a good one. Sharing your faith, your testimony. It increased, jumped 200%. Saint, that's big. See the effect of reading your Bible? Discipling others went up 230%. The effect it has on us when we hide the Word of God. It says there, they just read, that's four times a week. Imagine the impact if we spend more time. Well, if we just went by that, man, as a whole in the body of Christ, I'm not even sure what the percentage is. I don't know. But I know one thing, that you don't have to wait for a revival. You can start your own revival right here, right now. See, living a sanctified life, getting into the Word. David said, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a good example. He says, I have hidden your seed. God's Word is seed. I've hidden it into my ground, to my heart. So it doesn't matter whatever need I have, I just need to find that seed and put it in my heart, plant it in my heart, right? And then give it time to work. Allow it to work in my life. So whatever I'm having issues with, I can break away from and become a vessel for God. Because it's going to be by the Word. The more Word I put in me, the more light I have in me. The more I am obedient to the Word that I put in, the more light be given to me. It's all about hearing and obeying. See, a lot of times, there's times when my mom, she'd go to the grocery store, and I knew every Thursday, my mom would go to the grocery store. Clockwork. And as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, I knew that. So this particular day, Thursday came, and mom, she's about ready to take off, and I said, Mom, can I go with you? She goes, No. You little rebel, look at you. You're filthy. You're dirty. Take you with me. You're not ready. In other words, there's a lot of things God wants to do with us, but because of the lifestyle, because we haven't done what the Word said, because we haven't planted the Word, we're not ready to be used as a vessel, because the vessel is dishonored. This is the vessel. Jesus said, this vessel, this house should be called a house of prayer. Right? Amen. Let's go back. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. And it says, let's go back to verse 22. Flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. How are we going to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace? It says, with those. Who's with those? That's the church. With those, it's not talking about the heathen. It's talking about the church. One Bible says the company. It's the assembly. With those who call, that word call, you can say prayer. So he's talking about those who call. He's talking about a praying church. He's talking about those who will pray. Those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This house is to be a house of honor. Not only this house that we're in, Jesus said, this should be called a house of prayer. Well, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Each of us, each one of us carry a treasure on the inside of us. A treasure in these clay pots, earthen vessels. You know, someone says, well, where's all the glory? Well, my question is, where's the Word? Where's the Word? Is the Word in you? Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I just fear God do it. Well, listen. The glory. Listen. I got this down. I'll just read this to you. In John 14, 21, it says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And get this. And I will show him, reveal, manifest myself to him. See, people saying, well, where's the glory of God? Where's the Word at in you? Because it says here, Jesus said, if you keep my Word, keep it where? In your heart. See, this, we're talking about being a vessel, keeping the Word in your vessel. He says, I'll manifest myself to you. I will show myself, reveal myself to you. It's a personal. It's personal. You can have a personal revival going on. He'll reveal himself to you. It is a promise. But your vessel, you're to be a vessel of honor. So a vessel of honor is going to have the Word in it. Clean. God's not going to reveal himself to someone who's not obedient to his Word. I'm talking about living a sanctified life. I'm talking about giving the Word number one place. I'm talking about giving the Word reverence. Everything you do is through the Word. Remember, I got it written down. It's so short. John 17:17. Jesus said in his prayer, he's going to go to the cross. See, a lot of times we pray, and this is good. Don't get me wrong, this is good. We say, Lord, use me. That's good. And we should. But more so than that, we should be saying, Lord, sanctify me. Why? To be used by Him. Sanctify me. Cleanse me. Now, we got our part to play, right? But in John 17:17, Jesus prayed for His disciples. And His disciples were a rough bunch. I mean, think about Peter. That guy was rough on the edges. And Jesus said this. He prayed for him. John 17:17. He's about to go to the cross. And Jesus prayed for him. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth. The truth. The Word is the means for sanctification. It is the means. Saints, the more Word that you have in you and the Word that you're obedient to is what the Holy Spirit can use. You give the Holy Spirit, how should I say it? The Word will sanctify you. Let me put it this way. You know, the sower sows the Word. And I think later on it talks about how the growth of the seed. There's the sower sows the seed. He goes to sleep. And the seed groweth. But he doesn't know how it grows. He just planted the seed and it started to grow, right? And the seed grew and it says there's the head, the blade, the ear, then the full grain in the head. I'm just paraphrasing it. Then the grain ripened in the head, right? He doesn't know how it all happened. He just planted the seed. The seed continued to work while he was asleep. It continued to work and work. He just continued to believe. Then one day, the fruit shows up. In other words, example, I can go from on the Lloyd, East Lloyd to the West, all the way across, and back without complaining. You're saying, what's the big deal? I said, that's harvest time for me. What happened? The Word worked. The Word was working. Now, it took a while. I had to do some yielding. It's through the Spirit. I had to yield. But the Word in me worked. So I had fruit. I don't want to get too far off the message, but it's all involved. The Bible said, I may have to paraphrase this, blessed is she who believed. It's talking about Mary. I think it's Luke 1, 4, chapter 1, 4, verse 45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of the words told to her. In other words, when you believe something on God's Word, when you took that Word and hid it, I just gave you a poll. People who read the Word even four times a week saw a great increase. If you allow the Word to work in you, signs will follow. Remember in Mark 16, I think it's verse 17, signs follow them that believe. Remember this, signs always follow the believer. You believe for something over here, for health. You put the Word of God in you. By His stripes, we were healed. By His stripes, I am healed. You put that Word in you. You meditate on that Word. You believe that Word. You say, let it be unto me according to Thy Word. I believe and I thank You, Father God. That Word will work. There will be a sign following you. I said, following you. It will show up. Just like Jesus, He spoke to the fig tree. Remember? He cursed the fig tree and He went on about His business. Right? Where was the sign? Come on, help me out. Where's the sign at? He spoke to the fig tree. He cursed it. I didn't see no sign. The sign followed. You just keep believing. You just believe. Now in Mark 16, verse 17, signs follow them who believe. That word believe is actually having believed in the Greek. Signs follow those who have believed. Past tense. The moment you prayed, the moment you put the Word in you, you believe that you received. You get up. You don't have it yet, but you believe you will have them. In other words, the sign will follow. A lot of people, this is what a lot of Christians do. I've been around this rodeo circuit a little few years. That's what I've seen. They'll pray for something, and they're walking. They want that sign to come up in front of them. No, you say it's done. It's done. And I just keep the faith switch on. It's done. I give You praise, Father. It's done. And something's going to follow me. It's going to accompany me. It's manifestation of the Word. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we want to be vessels of honor, we apply the Word. The Word is the washing of the Word. It washes it. It cleans us. But you've got to put it on the inside of you. There has to be a deposit of the Word. And then you're going to watch your mouth, which we're not going to get into. I'm just giving you a very brief summary of living a sanctified life, and it's putting the Word first, putting the seed on the inside of you. Because, saints, there's a lot of things that we have to clean up. I mean, I don't have to look around. I just look at myself. I'm not there yet. But I'm pursuing it. And you have the attitude of pursuing it. God is there. The Holy Spirit is there on the inside of you, helping you bring it to the pass. If you just keep His Word, He said He'll manifest Himself. God's not a liar, right? That's kind of strange even saying that. But God is waiting for someone to believe His Word. He's constantly watching over His Word. Like, The work's finished, right? All we have to do is find the seed, apply the seed, allow the seed to do the work, give it time to work, and the sign to follow. The fruit will be there. Now there is hope, there is expectation. Of course, we expect it. Hallelujah. So I want to finish up by saying our prayer should be said, Father God, sanctify me so I can be a vessel for your glory. That's what it's all about. Because if we don't separate ourselves from the filth, it's going to take the word. It's not by willpower. It's the word. Kenneth Hagin always taught about this. The word. Oh, Pastor Chuck, you're boring me. The word. It's come down to that, word and prayer. Yeah, that's the foundation, saints. It's the word. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, my ministry will be around long after years is gone. Because my ministry is based on the word of faith. You're basing on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm basing it on the word. Kenneth Hagin said this. I'm paraphrasing this. This has been years ago. He said we'd have all kinds of services. He said we'd have Holy Ghost services, getting loose services. And he said, we had all kinds of manifestations. Some good. And some not so good. But he noticed something in the lives of the people of his church. For the most part, their lives hadn't changed. Now get that. So what's the problem? And the Lord told him, he said, you're trying to do something that only my word will do. You're trying to change something that really the word has to do it. Now you put the word in, and the Holy Spirit is there to help. He's there to carry it out. You remember when it's really both, right? We need both. And I'm going to close up with this. I'm not going to forget about my notes. You remember when Joshua, I might have talked about this before, I don't know. Joshua was in the valley fighting Amalek, and Moses was on the mountaintop with Aaron and Hur. Let me back us up. You got Moses up on the mountaintop with his hands up, and you got Hur and Aaron, I think. I could be wrong about this. I think it's Hur and Adam had his arms lifted up, right? Okay. Which was a picture of praying, intercession. You got Joshua down in the valley fighting with the sword, which is a picture of the Word of God. So you have Joshua in the valley fighting with the sword, and you have Moses up on the mountaintop praying. It took both to bring a great victory. It wasn't just Joshua in the valley fighting with the word. It's Moses up here fighting, interceding in prayer. Both together. Amalek, if I recall, and I could be wrong, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but if I recall, Amalek was a type of the flesh. And it took prayer, intercession, prayer, and it took the word. It's not just word only, but it's word in the spirit
coming together. Because the Holy Spirit, if you humble yourself with the Word on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will work. Just like when Mary, she said, "Let it be unto me." And the Holy Spirit came upon what? The seed. Worked with the Word. And the Holy Spirit will hover in you. And it will hover on that seed and bring into manifestation what you want. I don't care what it is. Financial. I don't care if it's health. If you get the seed hidden in you, listen. The Holy Spirit, God watches over His Word. He'll hover over it. The Spirit of the living God will hover over that Word and bring it into manifestation in your life. That's the reason why I say you can have your own personal revival. Well, I'm just waiting for a special time. You can go home right now and start a special time. I'm not here just blowing hot air. I'm telling you, by experience, you can do it. A lot of times we go to church, I did my thing, I go home, and we just go through the same cycle again. Break the cycle. Break it. Sanctify yourself. Get in the Word. Get in the washing of the Word. Cleanse yourself. Get in. Be a doer of that. It goes on and on and on. I'm just trying to lay a light foundation right now. Part one of sanctification. The means of sanctification is get into the Word, get the Word in you, and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work. He'll clean you up. He'll clean you up. And not only that, saints, listen, you're not there yet. Listen, He's working on you, but you can still believe God for great and mighty things. You're not picture perfect. My motivation is, saints, listen to me. I'll close with this. My motivation is to live a sanctified life like Jesus. That Jesus can look, that the Father can look down on me and say, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I want the smile of God to be upon me. When God spoke that over Jesus, He hadn't even entered into ministry yet. He hadn't did one great miracle yet. He's just walking in simple obedience, doing what the Father said. Simple. That's where I want to be. That's motivation for me. To have His smile on me so I'm well pleased with Him. I approve of Him. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.